From the dead center of Michigan, the greatest state in America, I'm Steve Gruber. This is the Steve Gruber Show. God bless America for Thursday, August 29, 2019. Here are three big things you need to know right now. Number three, one of the former first daughters, Sasha Obama, set to begin her college career in Ann Arbor. The news comes after months of speculation. Now it's official, and it comes with a lot of attention and security details as well. Number two, an important court case in Michigan on guns. It's a big deal, and it changes what's legal for you and I when it comes to brandishing a weapon. And number one, federal agents raiding the homes of UAW members across the country. In fact, right here in Michigan, the center of an intense investigation into corruption and kickbacks and bribes and all of it. And the feds have executed raids on those homes, one of those homes being Gary Jones' home, the president of the United Auto Workers Union. They also raided the home in California of the former president, Dennis Williams. Our friends at the Detroit News putting together a great article on this. The four-year investigation by the feds were looking into bribes, kickbacks, attempts by auto execs to influence labor negotiations with the UAW. It's all led to charges against nine people so far. Prison sentences have been handed out for eight, but clearly the investigation is not anywhere near over. The UAW, Fiat Chrysler involved in this. The raids this week in six locations, Michigan, California, Wisconsin, Missouri, uncovering evidence including, quote, wads of cash and files that could bolster federal insight into the UAW leaders spending dues paid by blue-collar workers on luxury items, vacations, private homes, and more. Oh, it's deep and it's dirty. The head honchos of the, and that's why the raid here on the head of the UAW and the former head of the UAW, that's big news. Were the union folks lining their pockets? It appears that's what the feds think. FBI agents, agents from the IRS, the Labor Department, also investigating whether labor leaders received money and benefit through their tax-exempt nonprofits. And if they kept the cash contributed by senior UAW staff members to fund the funds originally established to buy flowers for auto workers' funerals, were they lining their pockets with funeral money? Seems like they might have. The investigations are targeting top current and former leaders of, well, clearly one of the most powerful unions in America, the UAW. And they coincide, ironically, with national labor negotiations among the UAW and Detroit automakers. And the potential new criminal charges raise the specter of Justice Department officials wielding a powerful and rarely used tool to wrest control of the UAW, civil racketeering laws. Civil racketeering laws. According to the article in the Detroit News, here's a quote from Kristen Dyzek, Vice President of Industry, Labor, and Economics at the Nonprofit Center for Automotive Research. We are very much in uncharted territory here. No arrests Wednesday. Jones and Williams not been charged so far. But these raids intensify this investigation that exposed a fair amount of self-dealing. So they fanned out, and so we're going to keep a close eye on this. This is a big story and a big deal that reaches across this state, reaches into union halls, brings into question the integrity of the UAW from the highest levels. Obviously not good news for the rank-and-file members of the UAW. And what political fallout will it have? If the federal government goes into this area and unleashes civil racketeering laws, and if the Department of Justice, under Attorney General William Barr, take control of the UAW and its money, what will that mean politically? Obviously, there will be political fallout. Why haven't we seen this as a front-page story everywhere? I do not know. You can speculate. You can speculate why the unions have not been front-page news across the country and at the top of the newscasts everywhere. Now, I want to tell you about one other story of great importance to you here in Michigan that also has impact across the country. The Michigan Court of Appeals handed down a decision in a highly public, controversial case that gun owners across America should be paying attention to, no question. It justified the brandishing of a gun as a preemptive measure to block the use of unlawful force. The facts are hotly disputed, according to an article that summarized it in National Review. But here's how it came down. At the heart of this argument, a dispute between Sawatu Salama Ra, an African-American woman who had a concealed carry permit from Detroit, and a woman named Channel Harvey. Ra was put on trial for assault with a dangerous weapon and possessing a firearm while committing a felony after she brandished her unloaded pistol. Now, remember, she has a concealed carry permit. She's done the background check. She's done what is legally required. She's done everything the state of Michigan required her to do to have a concealed weapon permit with her picture on it, her thumbprint, background check, all of it. She didn't pull the trigger. She pulled out her pistol and pointed it at Harvey, apparently, after a dispute with one of the women ramming the other woman's car, pointed the gun at Harvey's car, then demanded Harvey leave her premises. Harvey testified that Ra was the aggressor and that she hit Ra's car on accident only after Ra pointed the gun at her. The jury believed Harvey's version of events, and Ra received a 2-year prison sentence for pulling out a gun that she was legally allowed to have. The case immediately controversial, with critics of the verdict claiming the case represented another instance of a black gun owner with legal permits defending themselves against violence and getting punished for it. The NRA, full support of this woman, as am I. Well, the Court of Appeals threw out her conviction. It didn't hold the jury got the outcome wrong, but rather that it didn't have a true opportunity to get it right. It was improperly instructed on the law, and the trial court placed too high a burden on Ra to justify her decision to pull a weapon. The jury was instructed only on the affirmative defense of self-defense through the use of deadly force, but deadly force wasn't needed. She was able to deter the attacker by just showing her weapon. To prove that deadly force was appropriate, the defendant has to prove she is reasonably believes the use of deadly force is necessary to prevent the imminent death of an imminent great bodily harm to herself or someone else. But by pulling the gun, she was able to deter the attack. Didn't have to use deadly force. Didn't have to kill the woman. Didn't have to kill this person who was terrorizing her and her children at the home of one of her relatives. And so hats off to the Michigan Court of Appeals for getting it right. If you can prevent a violent event from occurring or continuing just by showing your gun, police do it all the time. Police will pull a weapon, stop. They don't have to use deadly force to prevent something or stop something that's happening. So the Michigan Court of Appeals gets it right, justifying the brandishing of a gun as a preemptive measure to stop a violent event or prevent a violent event from taking place at all. We'll see where this goes. It won't be the last word on it, I can assure you that. You are now up to date. This part of the program brought to you by DTE Energy, providing safe, reliable natural gas to customers across Michigan. DTE Energy. Know your own power. It's the Steve Gerber Show. We'll be right back.
DTE wants to help your business build Michigan's future. Whether your business is large, small, or in between, a DTE expert will help you find ways to improve energy efficiency and add incentives through our many programs. Programs that can help you save money. Money you can use to create jobs and invest in the future. You see, DTE wants you to be successful. Because when your business thrives, Michigan does too. DTE. At DTE, our business is making sure you have reliable, affordable natural gas to keep your business running. So we constantly upgrade and monitor our system 24/7, 365. We also buy natural gas in the summer when prices are low and store it for winter. Because at DTE, part of our business is to keep your business costs affordable all year long. Learn more at dteenergy.com. DTE.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce. celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Wendy Block, Vice President of Business Advocacy for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. The Michigan Chamber has been the state's leading business advocacy organization for the past 60 years. Every day we work with state lawmakers in Lansing to promote and support policies that are essential for job creation, economic growth, and free enterprise. Our advocacy team defends business interests and actively promotes pro-business legislative initiatives. Whether it's education, environment, healthcare, or infrastructure, we are committed to standing up for all businesses, large and small. The Michigan Chamber delivers powerful advocacy and business solutions on behalf of our 6,000 members, representing 1 million employees across the state. We are proud to be the leading voice for business in Michigan.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward.